Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.randallgreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
He said less than 1% that Cain received. And so the next question was, why, Brother Duck? He said, I can tell you. He said, the majority of people that come to us don't even know what faith is. Haven't been operating in faith. Don't know nothing about faith. He said, they're just mumbling a lot of words out of their mouth because they heard somebody somewhere else tell them that's what they're supposed to do. And he said, they just make a bunch of confessions. See, just because you say words out of your mouth don't mean you're in faith when you say it. Woo! 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 Excuse me, Brother Travis. He's trying to go out on us here. You understand? I don't blame you, fella. You understand? But he can sleep through anything. You've been in church all his life. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. That's amazing, though. I mean, they can tell you what you preach. If you don't watch it, my little boy gets me. He'll fall out on me, and he'll tell you what you preach. Thank God for it. But, confession of God's Word is what's going to bring you to that point. But Brother Doug said, and it's the truth. You know, just because you say words out of your mouth don't mean you're in faith when you say them. But saying it is involved in working it, as Brother Capps has told us over the years. You've got to say it out of your mouth because Jesus said you can have what you say. But it's not only what you say, but what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. And when you say it over and over, convince yourself by saying God's Word over and over, speaking it out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and you're going to get to a point, if you didn't even believe that Scripture, if you say it enough, over and over, you're going to drive the doubt and unbelief in your life out in that particular area that you're meditating on. Do you know that I know people that excel in the area of finances but fail in the area of healing because they don't have faith in that area? I know other people that excel in the area of healing and then fail in the area of financial prosperity. It just flop around because they've meditated so much in that area that they've driven all the doubt and unbelief out of them by staying in the Scripture, just washing themselves in that Scripture over and over till it drove every bit of the doubt out of them in that particular area of their life. Do you know you can drive doubt out of you with the Word of God? You can do it. And that's what you do. Just get the Scriptures and start driving the doubt out of you with that confession of God's Word. Amen. But we talked about what faith is not. And so it's going to be in line with this when Brother Doug told me that. And he said a lot of folks come to them on the last leg. You understand? They done tried every guru and huru, and we're not knocking anything, but they try all kinds of lotions and potions besides medical science, you understand? And we're not knocking that. We believe in, there's natural cures. We believe in all kinds of things, and I believe that God gives you wisdom, and He may tell you to do something that the doctor don't even say do. And we're not knocking any of that. You just do what the Holy Ghost said, and it'd be fine. But he said a lot of these people have come on their last leg, and they're at the door of death, and they don't have time. If the gifts of the Spirit don't go into operation, they don't have time a lot of times to teach these people what faith is. And so he said the majority of them that do get healed, that less than 1%, because there's a lot of people now that come. When you're talking about less than 1%, there's a heap of people getting healed, understand? But when you look at the overall perspective of it during the years that he was there. But at the same time, these people that come into there and they do get healed, they get healed because the gifts of the Spirit go into operation, manifestation, demonstration. Now, the other thing that he said with tears in his eyes to me is this. He said, Brother Randy, he said, most of the people that come to me come out of Word of Faith churches. Excuse me. He said, please, he begged me, please. He said, you're traveling. Help me teach people what faith is. He said, I'm tired of seeing people die. He said, I'm tired of going to the funerals. I'm tired of holding crying mamas and daddies. He said, I'm tired of that. He said, I hate the devil and I hate sickness. And he said, but there's nothing I can do. If the gifts of the Spirit don't go in operation in me, there's nothing I can do to reach out to them except teach them faith. And that's what they do. Twice a day, they just try to bombard them with faith, 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 faith. And so when he said that, and that's what really spurred me along these lines, to really seek God about faith and everything. And I did. I started praying, and that's where God began to give me revelation along this line, began to talk to me about this. And so as God was revealing this to me, we were talking about what faith is not. And this kind of goes along with what we were talking about confession. Faith is not trying to get God to do anything for you whatsoever. If you're trying to get God to do something for you, that means that you believe that He has not done it. And if He has not done it, it cannot be faith. It can't be. Because faith can only begin where the will of God is known, which you could say the Word of God is known. If it's written specifically in the Word of God, by His stripes you were healed, then you can claim that by His stripes I was healed. If I was healed, that means I am healed. Do you know I claimed that scripture for myself today and received a miracle healing in a hotel room? Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo-hoo! I did. I just said, Father, I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm tired of putting up with this. In the name of Jesus Christ, excruciating pain. Well, I was praying for people last night. I said, Father, I'm just tired of putting up with this. And I said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to take Your word. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, I confess by His stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. In the name of Jesus, pain, get out of my body. And just like somebody dumped a bucket of hot water on me. And I was immediately healed. Pow! Every symptom left immediately. Just confession. Confession works, I'm here to tell you. And it'll work for you. It'll do the same thing for you. The same thing. See, I have to practice what I preach. That's what I love about your pastors. They practice what they preach. They got to. Because they couldn't make it if they didn't. Amen. Glory to God. And you're going to have to practice what you preach too. But faith is not trying to get God to do something for you whatsoever. If you're trying to get God to do it for you, that means that you think that He has not done it. If He has not done it, it cannot be faith whatsoever. So Brother Rennie said, can you make that a little clearer to us? Yes, I got to tell you the donkey story to make it clear. If you don't remember the donkey story, you're going to enjoy this one. Amen. But I said, Lord, and you'll know how to ride a donkey when we get through here. You understand? You know how to run rabbits. You know how to hunt dogs. And now we're going to tell you how to ride a donkey. You understand tonight? But it'll all have to do with this. And you'll never forget what faith is not. And so I said, Lord, I need revelation. When I pray and I say, Lord, give me not only revelation of Your word, but give me illustration. Because, Lord, if I can perceive something and get something in the Spirit, your pastors can tell you this, you can get something in the Spirit, you know, that God gives you in prayer, and you know, if you can do the same thing, but it's hard to communicate that to somebody else because it's a spiritual transaction that takes place there. And so I say, Lord, give me illustration of your word. And so as soon as I did, he gave me an illustration. And so this is a scenario that I saw in the Spirit. I saw a clown, our tent, a circus tent. They had about 4,000 to 5,000 people sitting on it with stadium type, you know, seats, bleacher seats, you understand. It was all around. There's about 4,000 or 5,000 people, it looked like, from in this little scenario that I saw there in the Spirit. And they were all sitting there, and there was an arena out in the middle of the tent. You know, the lights were shining on it, drums were rolling, and right away you could see what was going on. There was this donkey that was out there, and it was sitting on its hind end, you understand? Its rear end was set down in the sawdust, and its front hoofs, you understand, was glued to that floor. And there was 5 clowns out there that I saw in this scenario, had on big old floppy shoes, polka dotted clothes, you know, floppy ears and hats and all that kind of stuff, red painted nose and rosy cheeks, and they're trying to get that donkey to its feet because they want to ride it. And so they're tugging and shoving and rolling and jumping and hopping, and all the adults are laughing because they're, and the donkey is sitting there grinning like, move me if you can, because he ain't going to move. And they're thoroughly mixed and well set, somebody said, like concrete. In other words, he ain't going from that spot. And so he's sitting down there with his rear end glued, and they're tugging on the rims, you know, get up from there, grabbing his tail, you know, trying to pick him up, you know, lacing their arms on him, trying to move him, and they can't move. This donkey still sitting there grinning. Yeah. And finally, you understand, these 5 clowns are just working up a sweat trying to get this donkey to his feet because they want to ride it. You said, Brother Randy, what's this got to do with faith? Just hang on. You understand? But anyway, I know somebody was thinking that. Just hang on. It'll work out here in a minute. And so that one of them, you know, in every crowd, there's always at least one intelligent one. I pray that the whole one, we got it all in here tonight. But anyway, there's at least one intelligent one in the crowd. And you understand? And then we're not belittling nobody, but there was 5 clowns there, and one of them stepped back, the intelligent one, and he looked at the scenario, and he said, well, what we're doing is not working, and if what we're doing is not working, we got to change it, you understand? And so he had come up with another plan. Well, I'm here to tell you, if what you're doing is not working, you're going to have to change what you're doing. If what you've been doing in your Christian walk has not been working, there's something else that you've got to do in order to get something working differently in your life. And so anyway, here they are, these clowns, and this one clown stood back, and these other clowns are still working, and he begins to walk away out of the ring. Hops across the arena, ringside there, disappears behind this curtain, and was gone. You understand? Spotlight followed him and everything, you know, and these other four clowns frantically working, trying to get this donkey to its feet, biting, pushing, shoving, doing everything they can. The donkey's still sitting there. He ain't moving, you understand? And they're trying to ride him. Everybody's laughing and howling with laughter because the kids, you know, and the adults are laughing, all these clowns doing these flips and tricks and everything, trying to get the donkey, but he's not. So finally, after about 2 minutes, he comes back, and the curtains rustle, the spotlight hits it, the drum beats are rolling, and he hops over the ringside in the arena, and he's got a cane fishing pole in his hand, about 8 foot long. And everybody wondered right away, what's he going to do? Take that thing and hop up the mule upside the head, or that donkey upside the head with that thing, and make him go. You understand? It's an idea. You know, we don't believe in animal abuse, but maybe he's going to try to encourage him to get up and go. You understand? And he's walking along there, this grinning, this clown is from ear to ear. The other four still frantically working, and he stops, and he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a 3 foot piece of fishing line and carefully ties it to this 8 foot pole. And everybody's wondering, is he going to make a whip out of this thing with a fishing line on the end? Why in the world is that going to work? And then he walks a little bit more, just grinning from ear to ear. He reaches into his other pocket and pulls out a big, red, delicious, juicy apple with a long wooden stem, and he carefully ties it to this 3 foot line, attached to this 8 foot cane pole. And so there he is, walking out, dangling this apple from the end of that pole, and the audience went wild with laughter. They realized right away, this clown's got some sense. He's going to ride this donkey. Oh, boy. He's going to get that donkey to his feet, and he's going to ride him. And so he goes out there, and he's coming up on the blind side, backside of this donkey, you know, so the donkey don't see what's going on. And he tells him other clowns, get back. Get back. Take the reins and throw them over the donkey's neck. And then he gets over there and straddles that sitting donkey. And he grabs a handful of the mane, you know, that hair on the horse's neck there, or the donkey's neck, and he wraps a reins around his hand, and then he carefully lowers that 8 foot cane pole with that 3 foot line with that big red delicious juicy apple right in smelling distance of that donkey's nose, but out of biting reach of that donkey's teeth. And guess what that donkey did? He jumped up and he took off running, and that clown was a riding. Boy, everybody went wild. I mean, this clown had outsmarted that donkey, and that clown was a donkey was running, and he ran. He's just a chasing that apple. He's a chasing and a running and chasing, trying to get that apple. All the other clowns see what's going on, and so they just started to ride. They're going to ride. So they jumped on, and every one of them's riding them, you know, until every one of them clowns had ridden that donkey around and around that arena. Everybody's still laughing, and that donkey still are chasing. Wah, 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 trying to get the apple. The donkey just worked up a sweat, I'm telling you, trying to get that apple. Got news for you, the donkey's never going to get the apple the way he's trying to do it, because every time he takes one step forward, the apple does too, you understand? Why? In one sense of speaking, the apple already belongs to him if he'll do one thing. Stop, throw the dumb clown off his back, eat the apple. That's all you got to do. But he's racing. Heart would burst. You know, he runs so hard to try to get that apple, you understand? But all he's got to do is stop, throw the dumb clown off his back, eat the apple. That's all you got to do. That's all the intelligence you got to have. Now, y'all laughed at the donkey. Excuse me. But the devil saddles up Christians just like that every day. And he dangles the promises of God like out yonder, like one day God may do it for you, and you take off. And you flat wear yourself out. Has nothing to do with faith. Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. You fall flat on your face, thoroughly convinced that this stuff does not work, knowing it does not, because it's nothing to do with faith. Faith is not trying to get God to do anything for you. Stop, throw the dumb devil off your back, and say the promises of God are already mine. I haven't got to chase them down. I hadn't got to run them down. Why? Because it was done approximately 2,000 years ago. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, shed his blood and rose again the third day, all things pertaining to life and godliness was already given to you, and they belong to you now. They're yours right now because of what was done back then. They belong to you. But the only way they'll ever be a reality is you get that fact established in your life. Every fact of truth of God's word that you can get in your heart in the past tense sense, you'll experience it now. Amen. You'll do it. Amen. But everything of God is past tense. It's already done. It's not future tense that one day he's going to do it. He's not going to heal you one day. He's already healed you. Whew. He's not going to meet your financial needs one day. He's already done it. Where did he do it? Through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He brought it through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And ever since that day, glory to God, the year of Jubilee, you know what I'm talking about? Well, that happened when Jesus Christ came to the earth. He is the Jubilee. Jesus was your Jubilee. If you're waiting for Israel to be a nation for 50 years before you believed in a Jubilee, you waited a long time. Excuse me, and I'm not belittling knocking nobody. And there may be a truth there, but Jesus Christ came and represented the Jubilee, a restoration of all things. Woo! Glory to God, I don't know. I got it in my heart. I don't know about you. Glory to God, hallelujah. He restored to you everything that the locust has eaten, the canker worm had taken away, that sin and destruction had taken from you. Jesus Christ got it back. He got it for you. and you are son of God, you are daughter of God, and it belongs to you, and you don't need to do without the privilege. You need to be living way higher than what you're living in the spiritual sense in life, I'm telling you. In every realm. And I'll guarantee the more you get it in here, the more it's going to show up out here. But until you get it in here, it's never going to show up out here. Not on a continual, ongoing basis. You may get a temporary help by getting in the prayer line. You may get a little help because you was in a miracle meeting, the gifts of the Spirit were in operation. But if you're going to have any kind of longevity in God, you're going to have to do something, excuse me, yourself. You're going to have to get in that Word. You're going to have to meditate on that Word. You got to believe that Word. And I'll tell you the truth about it. The more you do it, the more you want to do it. The more you do it, the more you want to do it. It won't be a drudgery. It'll be a blessing. It'll be a joy. Boy, I got to move on here. Whew. Glory to God. But what was our next point? Did anybody write them down? We talked about what faith is not. Isn't that right? What are we going to talk about now then? What is faith? Woo, somebody wrote it down. Y'all keep me in line. Amen. Don't let me get out of the way here because we may go another way. You understand? I found out last time I was here I didn't finish your story, but we're going to get the story finished before I leave. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes I get that way. I got so many stories. You understand? But we'll get that story finished before we leave here. You understand? Somehow another God will work it in. But anyway, and you'll just have to remember, go back last year and get the tapes or and we'll get them hook up there, you know? But we're going to talk about what is faith, because we talked about what faith is not. Then we've got to know what is faith. So I said, Lord, how am I going to know what faith is? Well, you could turn to Hebrews 11:1, and I'm not telling you to turn there, but you can if you want to. But it says there that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that you cannot see. Well, Lord, you said faith is the substance of things I hope for, but what is faith? You told me that faith is the substance of things that I hope for. But what is faith? Because if I don't know what faith is, I don't know how to get my hopes and desires. And then you said faith is the evidence of things that you cannot see. But what is faith? I can't have the evidence if I don't know what faith is. It don't do me no good. Faith is substance of things that I hope for, and faith is evidence of things that I cannot see. But what is faith? And that's what I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't see a definition of faith in there. And I'm not saying it's not there, but remember, all I got is an LLDR degree. Long-legged devil runner. Woo! Glory to God. So that's as far as I go. And I'm not saying there's not a definition of faith, but there wasn't one that satisfied me. And so I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me understand what faith is. And no sooner than I asked, here it came. And I got to tell you the story. I got to tell you how to be a gardener. You know how to plant a garden. You understand everything. You know how to ride a donkey. And you know how to run rabbits and you get dogs. But it all makes sense. Jesus gives us wisdom to how to deliver things so we can understand it. But this is the scenario that I saw. My daddy, I was home from a Rhema Bible Training Center, I think during the spring or the year, there in 1986. It was kind of my first year at Rhema. And I went back there to visit my daddy in Columbus, Georgia. While we was there, it was on a Saturday. My daddy and I was sitting around talking, and outside the country there, outside of Columbus, Georgia, about 30 miles out in the country, he owned about 5 acres of property. And he went out there and he was telling me he'd done planting about a half acre in a garden. He said, son, he went to describe this garden to me. He said, you ought to see my garden. He said, it's the most beautiful garden you've ever seen in your life.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about two of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org. Or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.